You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. On January 19th at noon, the historic Ashland Armory will host the 38th annual MLK Day celebration. Organizers D.L. Richardson and Gina Duquesne joined me in the studio to offer details about the event. They're part of the committee of organizers for the 38th engagement. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also joining us is the keynote speaker for MLK Day, Dr. Rick Bailey, the president of Southern Oregon University. Welcome, President Bailey.
Great. Thanks, Mike. Good morning.
Well, as a note to our listeners, this will be an extended conversation that touches on sensitive issues of politics, economics, race, and religion, all of which Dr. King was deeply involved in trying to reshape our society. But we start with the MLK Day celebration. DL, you've been doing this the longest, so start us off.
Well, first of all, just thanks for having us here, and we so appreciate it. And we're excited to have the folks come out for the event on MLK Day. It's such a wonderful event to me as it relates to for the city, that the city and the community gets behind it and appreciates all of the history of it and what it means to not just this whether it's a school or the city, but to the community as a whole. So we are excited once again to actually be in a building, not just outside because of COVID that we had to do a few years back, but actually have an opportunity to sit in the building and share with probably somewhere around 800 people and enjoying the mindset of living what the promise of this country can be, as Dr. King would have said or did say, and what we can be as a people, a united people.
Well, you've been doing this for a long time. Take us back.
Oh, my goodness. I just come to SOU in 2001. And in 2002, that was September, and in 2002, that was my first MLK event, and it was actually on the SOU campus. Mm-hmm. And being from Alabama, I thought, and it was snowing that day, I always remember we had about a foot of snow, and I said, well, hopefully there'll be other people there, because why would they be out in the snow?
And I'm
from Selma, Alabama. Okay. Where, you know, if there's a threat of snow, we shut down the state. but when we had all that snow sitting there, and I walked up, and of course the line was from Britt Hall on the SOU campus all the way down to Stevenson Hall of people waiting to get in. And I thought to myself, oh, they take this seriously. Mm-hmm. Very nice, very cool. So from that point, that I went as a member to VUE in 2002, and then I started doing work with them and performing and being on the committee since 2003. And so since 2003, I've been active in some way with the MLK event. And so I'm still excited to do it, still happy about it.
And now you got a partner in crime.
Yes.
Gina, that's your cue. Tell us about you and how you got involved in this, and tell us about the event on January 19th.
I have been an active committee member with MLK since the inauguration of President Obama. And I had the first inauguration. I had just moved here, and I didn't know there was an MLK event. And there was, and I couldn't get in because it was packed. The inauguration and the celebration were on the same day. So I thought, how can I always have a seat in the room? So I thought, I'll just get on the committee. And so that's what I did. That's what I've done. I'm grateful that I am able to be of service and be a part of this wonderful committee that is passionate, that shows up every year. I get a chance to work with amazing people. This year, our program is excellent. We have the written word, we have a song, we have dance, we have our Ashland School District Choir, we have the Peace Choir, we have musicians, we have dancers, we have the BSU, we have so much community that's showing up to support Dr. King's dream.
And that's on January 19th at the historic Ashland Armory. And it starts when?
At 12 noon.
At 12 noon. People
doors open at 11:30.
Yeah, people probably need to get there early because, like you said, it's hard to find a seat. And then afterwards, there's a march?
Afterwards, we will all, I believe our final performance is the Peace Choir. And then the Peace Choir will lead us in song as we all march to the plaza to hear Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, I Have a Dream.
Okay. And your keynote speaker is Dr. Rick Bailey.
Yes. Yeah. I'm honored to do it. And I will tell you, so Gina and DL are two of my closest friends. So, I would do anything that they ask. But this is a really special honor for me. And I was joking or teasing a little bit before we started on air today. But I've been the president at SOU for 4 years this week. And the Dr. King celebration was the very first event that I attended when I got here. And matter of fact, I had just moved into a house full of boxes and walked down, left that house full of boxes to come down. And so D.L. Richardson was actually the very first community leader I ever heard speak when I got here. So this is a...
And he stayed.
He stayed. Despite, I think, no. It was so good. So you know, you said, Mike, early on that as you introduced this, that these are really challenging times, and because of that, I think the message that Dr. King gave us is more. We need to lean on that more now than we ever have. And so, you know, the opportunity to be a part of a celebration like that. The other thing that Counselor Duquesne said that I want to hit on is, there are so many young people who are involved in this mm-hmm. event, people of all ages, of course, but there's really something special about how they show up for this event.
Okay, so there's a theme that I saw on the poster. It says, the time is always right to do what is right.
Yes.
How do we know what is right?
I have a start on it. Because I think Dr. King gave us the answer. And this is going to sound syrupy sweet, but I come back to, and this is a mantra for us at SOU, it's always got to come back to love. Love is the thing. And if love is the core motivator in what you do, then I think you're always going to be on the right side of whatever the issue is. And by the way, we always talk about it at the university. There are a lot of times when you don't know what the right, there is no clear right answer. So when there's no right answer and it's not that clear, you have to fall back on principles. Mm-hmm. What are the principles that guide you? And I think Dr. King gave us a really good set of those principles.
Mm-hmm. And part of that, Mike, is just knowing, right? It's like Dr. Bailey says, it's just knowing what's the right thing to do. And I think come back to him because, and I embarrass him a little bit. Oh, one of my favorite things with him is that when we moved back into the Armory after we came back from COVID, from having the event outside and then moving back into Armory, one of the first things that Dr. Bailey did was show up for the rehearsal day, as well as you know how we pulled everything together, bring the seats in, and set everything up. And the first thing he started doing was reaching for chairs and setting them up. And for a university president to come in and actually literally work, not just say they're going to work, but literally work, meant everything to me to see that type of effort and that type of appreciation for the work that we all were doing and being a part of it. And so right away, he knew what was right.
He said it. Yeah.
Leading by example.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. My guests are D.L. Richardson and Gina Duquesne, organizers of Ashland's 38th annual MLK Day celebration. Also joining us is the keynote speaker, Dr. Rick Bailey, president of Southern Oregon University. Now, I'm going to put you on the spot, Dr. Bailey.
Yes, sir.
You're going to be in the spotlight mm-hmm. on MLK Day. What's your message?
You know, I don't want to give it away. I will tell you that when Gina first talked about this, I really started thinking about this time and the message that would be appropriate in this moment. And when I talk to a lot of students, I think there are a lot of them that are frustrated that we seem to be going backwards. You know, that we talk about progress and we all talk about that hope, and yet and I don't want to say seem. There are things where we are going backwards. So let's just own that that's the case. So how do you keep the momentum, right? When we do the Juneteenth celebrations, I come back to my favorite quote from Dr. King: the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice, but it doesn't bend on its own. It bends because people push into it, right? And so when we are being pushed back, how do we find the resolve to move forward? And so I think that will be the core message of my remarks.
So to that point, our kids are witnessing our leaders calling people disparaging names, bullying both friends and foes, cutting funds for the most needy among us, taking lands and resources by force, using institutional violence against innocent American citizens, and targeting vulnerable populations for deportation and lifelong family trauma. Is this right? And who is supporting this?
No.
Well, absolutely, it's not right. And I think that's when, at this point, you start taking those lessons from the Civil Rights Movement and from Dr. King's time and start thinking. I was thinking about it this morning as we were looking at the actual the quote that we use, not just the time is always right, but the actual quote of the mortality, excuse me, oh my God, I got to take my words out this morning. But thinking about the fact that we are all together and we're all in this together, that mindset, and realizing that it's not just one people. If one group is affected, then we all are affected. Mm-hmm. And during King's time, then they stepped up and they did something. And I think now we're being pushed to say, okay, it's not enough just to say this is wrong. It's not just enough just to say we need to do something. We actually have to do something, and we have to get in that mode of doing something, and that's where we have to be at this point. And we hope that's why for MLK, it's not just about the sums and everything else for the day of, but it's a call to action. It's say, hey, don't just sit here and say, hey, ooh, pretty beautiful sweet kids singing. What are you going to do now? What are you going to step out this door and do? And that's where we are at right now.
And something that I would like to underline in that is that sometimes people, and I hear young people, I hear people talk all the time about their, I will use the word disgust with where we are right now. And I hear that and I understand that. And so what we are doing on Monday, that needs to carry into every day of our life. Right now, Mike, you're right. There's a lot of protest. There's a lot of uprising. We need to continuously, peacefully protest. That's what we did when Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was here. That's what we need to continue to do. March peacefully, protest peacefully, email, speak up, talk to your Congress and your local, state, and federal leaders and let them know this is where we are and speak up and demand our rights, because if we don't, we won't be heard, and we cannot be complacent at this time.
And I totally agree. And let me, I would also say, and this is going to be the educator hat on, that we should also think about this moment within a larger context and a larger time horizon. And so in 2018, I was at a conference in Nashville, and one of the big speakers was John Meacham, a historian, famous. I fanboyed out on him, but think about what was going on in 2018, and there was a question that that an audience member asked him and said, "Hey," and it was about civil rights, and said, "Is this?" And it was a young person. "Is this as bad as it's ever been?" Right, the bullying and the way people are treated. And so John Meacham stood and he took a couple of seconds and then he said, well, let me answer the way a historian would answer this question. 100 years ago in this country, more than half of its citizens didn't have the right to vote. There were a dozen, I'm paraphrasing, sitting state governors who were active members in the Ku Klux Klan. And there were tens of thousands of Klansmen marching down Pennsylvania Avenue 100 years ago. So is it as bad as it ever was? The answer is no. And his statement was, and his purpose for that was, the story of America is a story of progress. The challenge is that it's painfully slow sometimes. And so I think this is a moment that we have to recognize, but also know that we can get past it.
Well, that's an excellent note for us to take a break on. And when we come back, D.L. Richardson, Gina Duquesne, and Dr. Rick Bailey are going to dive with me into some of that past that we brought forward, because the past is not past, P-A-S-T, it is past, P-A-S-S-E-D, down to each generation. Welcome back to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. I'm joined in the studio by my three guests, D.L. Richardson and Gina Duquesne, organizers of Ashland's 38th annual MLK Day celebration. The event is on January 19th at the historic Ashland Armory, starting at noon. Also with us is the event's keynote speaker, Dr. Rick Bailey, president of Southern Oregon University. Now, before we went to the break, we jumped into the past a little bit and talked about what it takes to move that moral arc towards justice. It takes action. It takes us. And the past isn't past. It was past, P-A-S-S-E-D, down to each generation. So we have work to do. And part of that work is going to start on January 19th, or it's going to be on that January 19th. And you said there was to be a call to action. So when people show up, tell me what they can expect. And when they leave, what do you want them to do?
I'll jump in real quick and pass on to Gina, but I have to go back to what you said. Sorry, on the P-A-S-S-E-D versus P-A-S-T. And so it all came into mind for me yesterday because I started thinking about, remember in 1922, the P-A-S-T, we had the largest hate rally on the West Coast, the largest Klan rally ever, marching through the city of Ashland, organized and all the pictures, and it's a major event for those folks of hate. Yet yesterday, being commissioned into the United States Air Force, was the former president of the Black Student Union at SOU. And to see the people who were in that room and see the love and support they had for her, it made me think about the flag that's on our poster for with King's behind King, and thinking about this is America. This is America we dream of. This is America we fight for in order to pull together. And to see those folks and do the work with her and the joy that we all had, Dr. Bailey actually was a person who got the chance to put her bars on along with one of our organizers, Marvin Woodard, one of her mentors. But to see all of that work in a building that's just down the way from where the largest hate rally ever on the West Coast happened just came to fruition for me. And I started thinking, what an incredible time to be alive. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And just to kind of talk about that is having, you know, the poster, the flyer that we chose as committee members, we wanted to have the American flag on there because it is not owned by a certain group of people. The American flag is for all of us. So to be able to have that reflect on our poster was important to us, and something that DL mentioned. And it's true, I've seen the pictures of the Ku Klux Klan marching down Main Street and how terrifying that was. But where we are now in the 21st century and things are passed down from generation to generation, it's on our shoulders to change that narrative. It's on our shoulders to have our young people educated and know that history. Because history is being passed down. And so many times, Dr. Bailey mentioned love. Well, we have to flip that. It is about love. But what I see now is a lot of hate and hatred being taught in our schools, social media, and in all of our media, newspaper. It's there. And if we don't push back and show our youth that is not how we do it. Learn by example, know your history, educate ourselves, have conversations. So many people, I believe, are being radicalized and not in the positive way. They want to fit in. They want to be a part of. And I believe it's up to us to push back and show, be a part of this, not a part of hate.
Yeah, so this is where we have to do two things at the same time. So, you know, this year we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Declaration, right? And so we have to both remember the past and we have to fight for the future. I think both of those things have to happen at the same time. Mm-hmm. And the reason I keep coming back to love and I come back to Dr. King is it's the only thing that drives out hate. It's the only thing. So what we have to do and what the ceremony and the coming together does is commit ourselves to walking that walk and not to give into just fighting hate with hate. That's exactly. That's important.
Okay, so the MLK Day celebration will feature King's famous I Have a Dream speech.
Yes.
But I'd like to remind people that Dr. King didn't start that speech with his dream. He began by describing his reality. And those were real conditions that were the catalyst for envisioning a different American society.
50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, the life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today dramatize
a shameful condition. And in 1963, when they were dramatizing that shameful condition, Dr. King led 6 major black organizations in what he called the Negro Revolution, which he wrote about in his 1964 book, Why We Can't Wait. The very first chapter mm-hmm. is titled The Negro Revolution, Why 1963. Now, that revolution called for 3 systemic changes to the economic conditions of black America. And ironically, those conditions still persist today. And here's what they are. Schools are still racially segregated, with poor black children relegated to the worst quality education in the world's richest nation. Home ownership among black Americans today is worse than in the 1960s, when the black-white home ownership gap was 26%. Today, it's between 28 to 30%. And the conditions of banking and access to capital have worsened as well. Citibank in 2020 issued a report that revealed a loss of $16 trillion in unrealized GDP due to ongoing policies of racial discrimination by the financial industry. In 2024, it updated that report and the loss of GDP to $21 trillion. So how do we pick up the mantle of transformative leadership that King dropped when his life was taken in 1968 to help transform those systemic conditions? How do we do that?
I can't say enough about education, because if we don't know that history, then it will repeat itself. And this is what we see right now. And I don't, it is repeating itself as we speak. So I, once again, to know the history, to be able to educate ourselves, and I look not only to my people, to black people, I look at all the people, because what happens to one can influence many. Mm-hmm. I look at all the people. So many times I will have white people come to me and ask me questions, Gina, blah, blah, what should I do? You know, today we have Google, we have ChatGPT, we have libraries. Go and educate yourself. We need our allies. We need to come together as people so that we can one day, hopefully, get close to Dr. King's dream.
And Mike, I appreciate you putting that part of the message out because that's what we do every year for the Plaza. We don't just play the 39 words that everybody knows from that mm-hmm. speech. We play the entirety of the speech mm-hmm. and make sure that, again, that this is it wasn't just the perfect conditions. And we think about On that day, not only was Dr. King there, but Representative Lewis, not then, but was there, mm-hmm. and he was set to just go off on the hatred, on how much hatred that was coming toward them, as well as the you know, the being upset back at the American people. And he changed his mind. He changed his mind on the original speech he was going to do with that mindset and started preaching because there was a lot of worry about about John speaking. But once he got on that stage, he changed his entire speech to be more in line with what Dr. King talked about and what said, because he knew that's how we would make a difference, how we make a change. So we keep talking about that, going back to love, going back to peace, going back to those things. But the important thing, again, like Gina says, I think first with education, especially in the schools, because we were talking about earlier of how so many of our students still have to walk through the class, have to walk through the hallways with their fellow students and hear so many horrible words thrown at them because of the way this country has regressed in many ways. And how do we move forward from that? How do we make sure those kids? And part of that is making sure that people start understanding one another, getting to know one another, understand that the things they've heard aren't all the things that aren't the things that are true, because they get to know people on an individual basis, as, including the kids. And that's one of the things we are still working on and trying to get. I think COVID set us back because all the hate that was done outside the classrooms, whether it was in homes or what have you, that hate was manifested even more. But once we got back from COVID, at least now kids are able to get back again with one another and say, oh, wait, you're not the person that mom or dad told me you were. You're not the person that TV and politicians told me you were. You're someone that can be my friend. So how do I move forward? I can move forward with you, and we can move forward together and move everything that we have that's wrong with this world into the right.
So you're talking about that proximity.
Yeah.
Campuses bring people together.
Absolutely.
So there are two examples of that. And by the way, I want to put Gina and Deal in a commercial now because that's like a perfect tag for SOU. But our students, and this is a good example and what gives me hope, our students, and this is 20 years ago, came up with a student policy that said that any club, any student club, has to be open to every student, every student. And, you know, DL talked about the Black Student Union. You know, if you look at that group, it's a pretty diverse group. You heard Gina talk about allies. Every organization we have at the university, they are really demonstrating what they are expecting us as older generations to embrace and the way we've failed to do so. So I don't want to give it a rosy picture because we do have problems in schools and things we need to. But I also think that there is a sea change happening where people are demanding a better future than and one that they deserve. And so I'm hopeful for that.
Okay, so we said that the past, P-A-S-T, is not left in the past. We learn from the past, but what we learn is that it was passed, P-A-S-S-E-D, down to each generation, and we inherited a society that we didn't create, no blame, no shame. But we inherited responsibility for what we passed to the future generations, right?
Right.
So can we dream together?
Yes.
Can we collectively envision our future together?
Yes.
Is that possible?
Yes. It has to be two. Oh, go ahead, Gina.
No, go ahead.
It has to be two. I'm gonna share a story on Monday about my nephew, and it, that was just so like telling in the through the eyes of a child who looks at racism and says, that's ridiculous. Like it just makes no sense, right? And you have hope. And then I was in Selma for the 50th anniversary of Bloody Sunday, and this is going to be part of my story. But if we're not careful, there are forces out there who want to whitewash history, right? Who want to kind of gloss over it, who want to take over access to higher education, who want to dismantle – the structures that are kind of tried to push back. So I think it's making sure that we keep open pathways, that we are intentional about making sure that we remember both the good and the bad in history and own it, and then use those things to dream of what the future can look like.
And okay. Something that I wanted to just kind of put out there is that when we look, can we dream together? Yes, we can. This happening. I'm so proud of our young people. I'm so proud of our young people because something like you said, Rick, the younger people, racism. You know, I talked to my grandson. years ago, and he's like, Grandma, I'm just trying to get my SAT straight. You know, I don't care about this. I don't have time for this. I am so proud of where our young people are. I have hope. I have faith that we are going to do better. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm proud of our young folks.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. Now, where should we be on January 19th?
On January 19th, doors open at 11:30. And at the Ashland Armory, we're going to have a celebration of a lifetime. Join us.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
My guests were D.L. Richardson, Gina Duquesne, and Dr. Rick Bailey, president of SOU. They'll be celebrating MLK Day on January 19th at the historic Ashland Armory. Doors open at 11:30 a.m.